It's amazing that God has talent throughout the brotherhood. And we're glad that we have been blessed to hear Joe tonight. I mean, we've known him for a long time. That's the first time I heard him lead singing, so did a great job there. I appreciate that. All right, tonight we want to talk about a subject called the truth that frees. And we're going to give a definition of truth, and we're going to talk about different kinds of truths that there are, what we believe, what others believe to be the truth, and we're going to examine these things. See, there's different ways to view things that produce freedom, and we will be looking at that as well. Some of these things are from God, and other things are from Satan. So when you start talking about the truth, you never seem to associate Satan with that. But in some cases, that's exactly what happens. Now let's look at this. There's a geographical truth, and we understand that Sacramento is the capital of California. It's not Los Angeles, it's not San Francisco. And there's a historical truth. George Washington was the first president under the Constitution, not Abraham Lincoln or John Kennedy. I mean, those are truths. Mathematical truth. 2 plus 2 equals 4. It's not 3, it's not 5. Even though our society nowadays, well, you can't tell anybody they're wrong. And so the problem is, when they get to the real world, when the boss says, you give me four of these things, that 3 or 5 is not going to be acceptable. He wants 4, and there's a reason for that. So there's a mathematical truth. And then there's a chemical truth. You take two molecules of hydrogen and one of oxygen, it yields water, not sulfuric acid or salt. A biological truth. You plant a tomato seed, you get okra. You get corn. You get redwoods. No. You plant a tomato plant or a seed, you get a tomato plant. And what does it produce? Of course, tomatoes. Not corn or beans. Okay, so those are truths. We understand that. And we're going to find out the truth is always with us. See, every realm of our existence has the element of truth. And what that basically means is truth is always present. Wherever we are, whenever we are, truth is always present. And the word truth is defined as conformity to fact or reality. And so that's important when you think about it, because it's got to conform to the facts and or what the present reality is. Now, I could say it's dark outside. You're quickly going to look at the window and say, he's crazy. That's right. He is crazy, because it's not. The truth is, it's light outside. Now, in about 7 hours, I could say, it's dark outside, and you look out, okay, we'll grant you that. It's dark out there. So it is a conformity to fact or reality. And truth never changes. It is always right. It is always real, but the facts and the reality could be different. And that's why we get different answers to the same question, but yet they still be right. Say an example of what I mean here. All right. How far is it from here to Los Angeles? Well, anybody who travels out a lot can tell you it's about 360 miles to Los Angeles. And depending on which route you take, should take a certain amount of time. But let's say we go on. If we're in Dallas, the distance would be 1,439 miles. Now, if I told you the distance to Los Angeles is 1,439 miles, you can say, man, that's wrong. We know that's not right. Well, if I was standing in Dallas, that would be right. But if I'm standing here, it's not right. I mean, the reality has changed for that person. Now, between here and Los Angeles, you can stop anywhere along the route and ask how far is it to Los Angeles, and you're going to get a different answer. But it will be the right answer. At least those people who know their geography, it'll be the right answer. All right, so that's what's going to happen. And each answer most likely will be the truth. You have our little GPS on our phones. You look at that, okay, and it'll tell you how many miles you got to go. You travel down the road, and all of a sudden you have fewer miles than you had just a few minutes ago. And you're not going to look at that, oh, this thing's broken, it's not working. No. That's what truth is. Truth is a reality, or what reality actually is, based upon the facts that are there. All right, now we're going to make an application. In many ways, Bible truths are handled the same way. Yet man has tried to change the facts of the truth. What the Bible says you need to do, let's talk about our journey towards salvation. The Bible gives us certain facts certain truths based on the facts at hand. That explains why when the Philippian jailer told Paul and said, "What do I need to be saved?" They said, "Just believe on the Lord." Now, when Peter answered that same question, "What must we do to be saved?" He says, "Repent and be baptized." Two different answers. But they were appropriate at the time, because we realize in Acts 2, they were already believers. They knew they had done wrong. So what do we need to do? Well, since you're already a believer. Now, the jailer, he wasn't. But Paul said, "Now you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." And then, after being taught that evening, immediately, he washed their wounds and he was baptized, he and his household. See, many have freed themselves from God's word so as to sin any way they want without it bothering their conscience. And we see that when we talk about the denominations. Yes, that's what they do. They change the facts by their teaching, and people get to do what they want to do. And Paul told Timothy, "The time will come they will not endure sound doctrine, but they're wishing to have their ears tickled, accumulate for themselves teachers." Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. People want to do what they want to do. The facts don't matter to them. They're going to do it. They're just going to find some way to feel good about it. Some change the truth into a lie to promote their own doctrines, beliefs, and teachings. I mean, we know what is necessary for salvation, but some people might stand up and say, "Faith only, that's all. You don't need anything else." Heard a guy yesterday say that, then just a few seconds later, "We're saved by grace only." I mean, the guy was contradicting himself all day long when he was talking. I mean, he said, "Faith only is the only way to be saved." Then he turns around just a moment later and said, "Grace only is the only way to be saved. And then there's nothing we do, it's all Christ only." I mean, he used that word "only" quite a few times, but it wasn't the truth. We're saved by all of those things. See, in 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12 tells us, because they do not have a love for the truth. What's God going to allow for these? God is going to allow them to believe the lie. These people want to believe lies? He's going to let them. He's not going to stand in their way and say, "No, you cannot read that way." God's not going to do that. He's given us the truth in His Word. He has told us right here, "This is what I expect you to know and to do and comply with." Exactly, right here. Some people don't want to do that. So what do? They close the book. And they're perfectly happy to carry a Bible around. They walk around, he has a Bible. Oh, he must be religious. She must be religious. She reads her Bible. They're perfectly happy to keep it closed under their arm. And when it comes to opening it, they're very selective. They choose what they want to believe, and they just ignore the rest. See, many people question whether truth is possible in the religious realm, because everybody has an opinion, and they want to say truth is subjective, and in some ways truth is subjective. It is subjective to the facts at hand. Some people want to say truth is subjective to my feelings, what I say it is. And that's the age we live in now. This postmodernism is the age that says, basically, I decide for myself what truth is, and nobody else can tell me otherwise. And so people do that. And many make up their own truth. And that's how they live. Sometimes they want to share that, and they start a new denomination. They have their own truth. And let us notice a few things about the truth that frees. I mean, it's very important for us to learn these lessons. First of all, John 8:28-32. In that context, Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Well, first of all, what does the truth make us free from? Well, we have to learn that the truth can make us free from sin. And just the fact that the truth makes us free is kind of a false statement. When you think about it, we probably need to insert a word which makes it more understandable. Obedience to the truth is what makes us free. So even there, the truth shall set you free. Now, Jesus was using a specific context. If we use it in that same context with that same meaning, we are speaking the truth. The truth can make us free. But there's also a way we can twist it around where that becomes a false statement. See, Jesus tells us the only way by which we can be made free from sin is through the truth. And not just through the truth, just because truth exists. See, God exists. We recognize that fact. God has given His Word. It's in the Bible. We recognize that fact. And that doesn't make us free. What makes us free is when we open that Bible and learn from it and apply those things to ourselves. That is what makes us free. So specifically following the instructions from the truth, that's how it's going to happen. So this also implies that unless we are made free from sin by the truth, we're still in our sins and we will be lost. And a lot of people are still there. They think they're believers, but they're still lost. So what does the Bible say about the truth that frees? Well, we're going to look at that. The truth that frees is the Word of God. Very simple. Jesus said so in John 17:17 when He was praying, "Sanctify them by your truth. Thy word is truth." All right. He illustrated the importance of the word in conversion when He says, when the sower went out to plant seed, the seed is the Word of God. This is what we do. We plant seeds out there. We spread the Word of God around. And hopefully it'll fall on the honest hearts that will respond. Hearing the word should produce faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes through hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Depending on which version you use, it still means the same thing. Hearing what God has to say is what's going to produce the faith that produces salvation. Hearing what man has to say is not going to accomplish that. So this is the first step. But then we have to be doers of the word. You know, James 1:22-25. Be ye therefore doers of the word and not hearers only. So, we could listen all day long to the gospel truth. And if we don't do anything about it, it's not going to save us. When we become doers of the word, that's when salvation comes. As Job mentioned earlier, receive the word implanted, which is able to save our souls. The truth that frees is that which should be preached. Paul said so in Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. We are to guide people. And we should speak to them in a loving manner, and we should be willing to speak to them the truth. We don't speak of such things that are error or falsehood to make someone feel good. That's what they want. And so we should not be doing that. The Bible warns about that, as Paul warned Timothy. And then since the truth that frees is the word, when we preach the word, we're preaching the truth. 2 Timothy 4:1-2, Paul gives instructions. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and patience. Why? Verse 3 says, for there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. All right, so this is precisely what Jesus wants. And when He said, go preach the gospel, He says, that was the Great Commission. You go preach the gospel. Why? What is the result of gospel going to be? When people obey it, they're going to be saved. Plain and simple. Just preaching the gospel is not going to accomplish it, right? People have been preaching the gospel for many years. Look at our world. Do they believe it? Most of the world does not. Acts 8:4. When they were scattering because of the persecution, says the brethren went everywhere preaching the word. Why? Because they knew the word was important. And they went preaching it wherever they went. See, the truth that frees must be known and understood. See, Paul said in 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, that God desires all men to be saved. And he does. That's why he sent his son to this world, so that all men could be saved. That's why his grace and his mercy were extended to us. Titus 2 and verse 11, the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching them to live godly and soberly in this present age and deny ungodliness and wickedness. See, the idea of knowing implies an understanding. See, when Paul said in Ephesians 5:17, but understand what is the will of the Lord. We sometimes got to sit down and figure out, why does the Lord want me to do this? Sometimes we may not have the answer. We know God says you need to repent of your sins. And we learn what repentance means. Change your ways. Stop living a sinful life. Start living for God. We know God said confess him. We confess him by the mouth. We confess him by our actions. God said be baptized. What does getting dunked in water have to do with salvation? So many people ask. I don't know. But God said to do it, and so if we do it by faith, it's going to accomplish what God said it would do. Should be simple to understand, but so many people make it so confusing. How can we come to understand this truth? Paul said, when you read, you may understand my insight into the mystery of the grace of God. So, yeah, we have to study. We have to learn this stuff. It's just not going to happen by osmosis. Just because we're sitting in a church pew doesn't mean the word's just going to kind of crawl all over us and get inside of us. This isn't a Hollywood movie where the ants come up and just dig in. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved to God, being able to handle the word of God accurately. The truth that frees should be received and believed. Now when I say believed, that implies something as well. Yeah, we need to receive it, but then the belief should cause us to action. See, once more, Paul said so in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, when he's commending the Thessalonians, you received, when we preached to you, you received what we were preaching to you as the word of God. That's what it was. It wasn't the word of men. It wasn't something we just made up. This is what God wants you to know. And he commended them for receiving that. The idea of receiving implies believing. John 1:12. As many as received him gave them the right to become children of God. There's a lot of things implied there. Just because I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, that doesn't do it. That doesn't cut it. That's not enough. I do believe Jesus is the Son of God, but you know what? Jesus said there are certain things you need to do, and I better do them or I'll be lost. That's why we need to understand that. And you receive God's word, you receive it. It is able to save your soul, but not if you sit on it. Not if you reject it. It's able to save your soul when you apply it. Receiving and believing the word of truth frees because it saves our souls. James 1:21 tells us that. Receive the word implanted which is able to save your souls. So to receive the truth means that you receive it and then you act upon it. That's what it means. And a lot of people out there in those different denominations, I can tell you, oh, Jesus already done it for you. You don't have to do a thing. That's the work of Satan, telling people lies. And the problem is, millions and millions believe those lies. See, the truth that frees must be obeyed. Some people question this, and some people challenge this statement. Oh, that means that you're basing your salvation upon your own works. No, we're doing the works of God. Peter said so in 1 Peter 1:22, you have purified your souls by obedience to the truth. How can our souls be purified? when we obey the truth, what the truth tells us in God's Word, this is how we do it. We apply these things, God's words, to ourselves. We start living that way, and guess what? Our souls become purified by doing that. See, the benefits of obeying the truth, Romans 6, 17, and 18. You are no longer slaves of sin. See, you're the servant of the one whom you serve. And if you're serving sin, you're the servant of Satan. And, you know, Jesus made it very plain and clear. If you're not with me, you're against me. There is no middle ground. And we need to realize that. You're either serving Christ or you're serving Satan. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'm serving Christ, but their actions reflect something different, right? Remember Titus 1:16. They claim to know God, but their deeds deny him. See, the consequence of not obeying the truth, as we find there, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, that the Lord will come with his host of mighty angels dealing out retribution to those who know not God and keep not his commandments. Just, if you don't know God, you're lost. Just plain and simple. And if you don't keep his commandments, you're lost. Plain and simple. And God has a place reserved for you. Sadly, the truth that frees can be ignored. And we see this all the time. And what's really sad is when people in our own church pews ignore the truth. See, this is what Satan wants. He wants people to stay away from the truth. Satan doesn't care if you hear the truth, as long as you don't obey it. That he's fine with that. See, when you have no rules to follow, you can do what you please, right? You don't have to feel guilty about it either. See, some people talk about the guilt of sin. And when we've done something wrong, we should feel guilty about it and recognize, I need to be rid of those sins. So that's why we go to God and pray to him. Say, forgive me of my sins and wash my sins away. That's what we do when we appeal to God through baptism. Wash my sins away. But those people out there who don't recognize the Bible as the Word of God, who recognize they create their own truth, their own reality, they're free to do what they want to do. If they want to go rob a bank, there's nothing wrong with that as far as they're concerned. If they want to take a life, there's nothing wrong with that. If they want to take someone else's property, there's nothing wrong with that. And even our society goes along with that. When someone picks up a gun and walks into Walmart and starts shooting people, who's to blame? I guarantee you, most of the media say it's not the gun that's to blame. Or they're saying the gun is the blame, probably. I mean, we got to take away all the guns. But how many people lose their life on the highways in car accidents every year? 40,000, if not more. Well, we just need to take away cars from everybody except the criminals. You know, logic sometimes just goes, and common sense just goes out the window a lot of times. But that guy who shot up all those people, he had no remorse. Didn't bother him one bit. So even if they do execute him in the electric chair or by lethal injection, doesn't matter to him. He doesn't have to worry about facing a fiery torment as far as he's concerned. He doesn't know. And he will be surprised when he wakes up from that death. When there are no rules, there's no standard of authority or judgment. That's why the denominations exist, because they just don't look at authority, period. The only place you're going to hear sermons on authority is in the Church of Christ. You're not going to hear it anywhere else. And most Churches of Christ don't even talk about authority anymore. Why? Because, well, they're doing things they want to do. And some verses just seem to make them uncomfortable, so we don't want to talk about that. So you become free of feeling that you are doing something wrong. And that's the kind of truth, that's the kind of freedom most people live by. Doing what they want to do. Jeremiah said, people doing the same thing back in his day, and the people love it so. It's quite obvious the people love it so, what's going on in our world. See, religious error, no matter how honestly and sincerely believed, cannot make one free from sin. Only the truth can do that. See, if you have heard the truth, do you understand it? Do you believe it? And have you obeyed the truth that you might be saved and made free from sin? As the apostle says, now is the time to act. Yes. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. And we all have a choice. Every day we have to make choices. And right now, as we sing our invitation song, we have the choice to take advantage of this to get my life right with God, or just to continue on hoping that He decides not to come anytime soon. Most people have this idea, I've got plenty of time to get myself right. We don't know when that time is coming, do we? We better be right with God. Why take the chance? That's what I appeal to. Why even take the chance? So that's that. We're going to sing our invitation as a motivation to see if, yes, you're ready to make that change in your life. And we encourage you to do so. And we'll pray for you. And we'll baptize you if we need to. But please, get yourself right with God. We invite you to come while together we stand and sing.